Mary Patricia Laughlin is being interviewed today as a member of the Women's Overseas Service League, San Antonio, Texas Unit. This is being recorded at the Army Residence Community in San Antonio. Pat was born in on February the 27th, 1925. Ruth Stewart is interviewing, assisted by Carol Habgood. Now, Pat, would you start by just telling us a little bit about your early life and how you got into nursing and then into the military?
Ready? Okay. I was born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska. I got into nursing because I had so many cousins that were in nursing, for one thing, and the other choices for women at the time was teaching or, secretary. And I didn't want any either of those. Went to St. Joseph's Hospital School of Nursing in Omaha, and graduated in 46. I was a cadet nurse, if anybody remembers what cadet nurses were. But in 1946, the war was over and they didn't want anybody in the service. They were getting rid of them as much as they could. So my folks by that time had moved to Denver. Dad's job was changed. And so I was in Denver. I did my last 6 months of training at the Marine Hospital in Seattle as part of the cadet nurse program. And while we were in Seattle, my friend and I, the nurses there went on strike. They wanted more money. And they got their salaries raised to $220 a month. That's a 6-day week. And no evenings, nights considered at all. And when I got to Denver, they were paying their nurses $160. So my father kept saying, my father was a cattle buyer, by the way, he kept saying, you can make more money cutting bacon, and you only have to work Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. But Dad, I don't want to cut bacon. And finally, he heard on the radio that they were looking for nurses to take care of polio patients through the NFIP. The NFIP, you know the NFIP? It's all right. We got paid extra, so that we were paid $10 a day and $5 on our day off, which was better salary. I was at the Children's Hospital in Denver, and the accent is on the V at that hospital. After 11, there were lots of nurses there, some from Chicago and other places, and some had left when we had been there about 11 months, and they called us into the chief nurse's office and asked us if we would care to stay on regular status, and which would be still $160, and we all said no. And since we hadn't done a full year, we didn't get any vacation for that year. But I did continue to do polio nursing until 1951. I was in 14 different places. In the valley, Nebraska, all around the Middle West. So in 51, I was at Dallas and had friends in Waco that I used to go visit. And that gave me the idea, maybe now that there was a war on, we could get into the Air Force. I asked to go to East or West Coast. Of course, they sent me to Shepherd Air Force Base, Wichita Falls, Texas. After 3 years, which is what I had signed up for, I got out because that hospital was a cantonment hospital of 1,000 beds, and there were 112 nurses, all of whom had their name on the list to go anywhere except the chief. She didn't dare try that. So at the end of 3 years, I got out of the Air Force. I went to Chicago, and wound up there working with polio patients who had been on respirators and things of that sort, and we were trying to wean them from the respirators and get them so they could go home. And then, of course, in what, about 56, the Sabin and Salk vaccines came along, and polio was almost a thing of the past immediately. And so the chief nurse there was looking for a job that she thought I would like, and found me one at the, hold it a minute, a new hospital that took care of patients who had had strokes and things of that sort. And they had just 32 beds at the time. When I left there, they had 60-some beds. I went back a few years later, they had 4 stories with Northwestern. But in the meantime, I had decided to go to see if I could get in the Army. And I did. So that was 63 in January. I was sent to, again having asked East and West, I got to San Antonio. And I asked to, I should say that I used the GI Bill and got my baccalaureate. And then after
Was it that you did that?
In Chicago.
Oh, before that then. Yeah. You did that in Chicago, yeah. Okay.
I did that in Chicago. Loyola of Chicago, if you want that. Then, there I lost where I went. I asked the chief nurse there what I had to do to get to go to school for a master's, because that was, you could see it writing on the wall as far as that was concerned. And she told me I'd have to have an overseas tour. So I asked for the shortest overseas tour that I could and got the one too many in I'm missing the name of the group. Next to Japan is
Okinawa?
No.
Taiwan?
No, the simple one. The one where the North is now trying to, in North and South.
Korea.
Could not think Korea. I was there for 13 months and got to come back to Fitzsimmons because I wanted to go to school at the University of Colorado.
Let's back up and talk about your tour in Korea.
Okay. What about it?
Tell us about the type of patients you were taking care of, the way you lived there, your recreation.
We lived in a cantonment house. No, that's a cantonment house. We had a cantonment type place. 121st was the biggest hospital that we had in Korea. They had some small places, and then they had the one down at the big city.
Seoul.
And there was, you know, it was 64. It was just the same. It was kind of just the same everything, like any hospital. We didn't get people very much that were hurt, except kids, little kids who managed to get hurt when the truck ran over them at 3 o'clock in the morning when there were no trucks on them. Help. But just the ordinary stuff. But we liked Korea, at least Maria and I did, and got to see a lot of things.
You traveled outside of Korea?
We went to Japan but we didn't do anything other than that. We went for a few days.
And how did you live in Korea?
In Quonset Hut. They were very nice. They had just fixed over our new Quonset Hut, and so everybody had their own sink. You just had to go for the showers and the toilet. You had a nice area. And Mama-san's to take care of everything, do all your ironing and stuff like that. It was interesting. It was 13 months that I would not necessarily do two or three times, but for one time it was very interesting. But I don't have a lot of...
So then you came back to Denver?
I came to Denver and was at Fitz. And because I was older, then they allowed for people to be, regular army. I had to stay as a reservist. And so that made it a little difficult when it came to going to school. I did a lot of it in the evenings and things like that out of my own money, and then asked when I could be sent to school, and they decided they would send me for one semester. And I would not be going to until the second semester of the season. Until all of a sudden, when it was just about 10 days before school started, somebody else who had gotten the spot decided they weren't going to go to school, and all of a sudden I went for the full term.
So this was the University of Colorado, mm-hmm. and it was your master's you were working
mm-hmm.
for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In what area?
Med-surg. I didn't want to teach, so I took the,
administrative.
Yeah, administrative. And after I got out of school, they were going to send me to Nola Valley, and that didn't matter, because I didn't go there. The hospital fell apart, and so they closed it, and, it's not worth keeping. They didn't know what they were going to do with me, so they sent me to the career course for 6 months. And from the career course, where did I go? All of a sudden, Japan. And I had asked to go to Vietnam, but they said, no, we need your gray-haired old lady in Japan. And so I was a major at the time, and went to one of the hospitals there, the one that, I think of the name of it later. It's three members beginning with a U. Well, I can't even say, but I want to say two. But I don't recall it right now. I was there for 2 years and got to go to Madigan, which I wanted to go back to because I liked the Northwest from my experience as a cadet nurse. I left Japan on February, and in November, they needed an old gray-haired lady at Walter Reed. I really didn't want to go, but I had turned down a couple of other ones, and I thought I better not tell you that too much. So I went to Walter Reed. They told me that there would be something if they needed me. They needed me. When I got there, the chief nurse asked me what it was I wanted to do. And I said, I didn't want to do anything. They told me that I was needed. Anyhow, they turned out that they had a doctor and a nurse who were doing a little work on the side, and they were wanting to keep track of that, so we got taken care of.
What year was this? Mm-hmm.
About, let's see, 60, must have been 71. I was at Walter Reed for 4.5 years. I wound up being the term that they used for the nurses who were supposed to be helping the others get their education to
instructors.
No, it wasn't an instructor. It was, Anyhow, that's what I wound up being. By that time, I was a lieutenant colonel. What next? I asked to go get out of Walter Reed because I thought I'd been there long enough, and Jim Downey told me that the only place I could go was in the Far East because my eyes had burned. But anyhow, they sent me to Alaska. Fairbanks. And it was a 50-bed hospital that had very little to do. I was there for 19 months. I was the ranking officer in the BOQ, so I got to help get it was a new BOQ, and the men and the women were all in it, and they were all younger than me, and the men didn't like the idea that I had to tell them to clean the sidewalk of the snow. These young kids. The first winter was cold. There was no problem. The snow just... The second winter, we had spells in which it got warm, and everything... The BOQ was such that when the snow melted off of the roof, it melted on the sidewalk. I was there, as I said, 19 months. I was there when they were building the
pipeline.
I was there when they were building the pipeline. And you get to find out that people are very greedy.
Explain that a little further.
The people in town who had businesses had raised their prices considerably. The people coming down from the pipeline for a week or, I mean, for a couple of days came into town and got drunk and you get their money. The people who were on a fixed income were really not getting any help at all from anybody. It just was very disconcerting. One of my sergeants, he was the one in charge of the of one of the wards. He went to work went to sleep every night in one of the buildings where he kept track of anything that came in on the telephone. He got paid $10 a day a night to go there and sleep and watch that. One of the other sergeants had his wife was he happened to be black and she was too, but her family was up in Alaska for some time, and he had more than 20 years, and when they told him he was going back to the States, he told them no, because he was making a very good salary also at night. That sort of thing. But it was a lot of interesting things to do too. And I did go up to see the pipeline, the top head, in an airplane, and that sort of thing. Saw the Nelly. And then I asked when I came home, it was like to be my last assignment, because I just had 3 years left. And I went to, that's the one, Platas Behaves, which is Monterey. I can't remember the name of the post, but the hospital was Platas Behaves. That was an interesting time. I'm not particularly fond of California. It's not my style, but around that area, it was some very interesting things. And I have since seen San Diego, and that's a different kind. But the other parts of it, San Francisco is too busy, too everything. So it was fun to be there and see it, but I don't go back.
So how long were you in the service?
I have 20 for the time I was in, and 2 for where's my paper? Before I got in the Air Force, you know, after I got started, they put me in, and then after I left, I got 2 years of reserve time. I also got my 06 from the reserve. I was in 06. December of 75, I was still a lieutenant colonel when I retired in February of 80. But that was also the day I was 55 years old. And so I have been paid on the full colonel's since I.
So
some people don't understand that, see, because they knew me on active duty and I had 06. And, I mean, the I did not have the 06 as well.
Now, what does 06 refer to?
Full colonel.
Okay.
And see, I was not a full colonel on active duty, and some people can't understand why I now say full colonel and get to pay for it.
And tell us about your life since then, after 80, when you retired from the military.
My mother came to live with me. That had been planned. But she came when I had my parade here in San Antonio. And I happened to be the only one that wanted to have the parade that month. And my mother came down for that. And then she went back to Omaha where she had lived. After my father died, they went down in Kansas. She stayed for just a while, but then she went back to Omaha because she had a lot of friends there, a lot of people she played bridge with, people she had worked with. But being of the age and everything that she wasn't ready to come to be with me yet because she had an agreement with the apartment that she was going to be there for so long, and she didn't, you know, how those people are. So, along in May, I started getting from her friends calling me and telling me that she was not doing well. She was getting up in the middle of the night and thinking she had to go to the doctor and things of that sort. And then I talked to the doctor. So I went up to Omaha and got her. We went up to Iowa where all of her relatives, where most of her relatives were, and came down in time for the 4th of July. I don't know whether you want this on the cake, but when I cleaned out the apartment for my mother, she had at the end of the tub a place that she could keep things like linens and her boot, and up in the very top, it had toilet paper. Lots of toilet paper. And I said, Mother, what are you doing with so much toilet paper? She said, I had a coupon. So she had a sewing machine, I had a sewing machine, so I took and wrapped up the sewing machine to my brother's wife in Chicago and used toilet paper so that everything would go right. My other brother came from Colorado and he used a lot of toilet paper. I took a lot of paper home. And my mother died then in October. She had been 95, the 13th of October, and she died in that same year. I still had toilet paper. You know? I'm sorry that she didn't live longer, but it really was good that it went as fast as she did. She washed her hair one morning and then wasn't feeling well. Pretty soon she started to vomit. We got the 9/11 here and took her, and she died during the night. My father, this is one thing I hope is good for me. My father also died very suddenly. They had been to a wake and then to dinner, and they came home, and mother had gone to bed, and she heard him fall in the bathroom, and that's while I was in Korea. And when I came home for the funeral, the doctor across the street said that although they took him to the hospital, the ambulance did, he was dead before he left home.
Mm-hmm. That's real nice. Yeah. Yes. Since you've been out, have you joined any veterans organizations?
I belong to the Windcrest Post 612 of the American Legion. I belong to this op, of course. seems like I'm leaving something out. I work, no, this is not a veterans organization, but I work every Tuesday from 10 to 1 at the AMEDS Museum, Fort Sam. And this doesn't have anything to do with veterans organizations, but since May of 84, I have been driving Cancer Society, cancer patients for the American Cancer Society, to about 2,500 or so miles a year.
And you help people here too?
Yes. We just made 5,817 dollars and 11 pennies in our thrift deal. Now, part of it, Millie does the jewelry, and she made 2,700 plus in her jewelry, and then all the other stuff we made 3,000 plus. And that's for our activities. That's the money
here
goes.
At the Army Residence Committee.
Yeah. They have parties, and they have the movies, and we have the children's Christmas party coming up, all sorts of things like that. And this is the biggest fundraiser.
Mention briefly about the recognition you had this spring.
Mention briefly about them. I don't know where to start. It was very, it was very nice. It really was very inspiring, but I don't know how to.
Well, it was recognition by a community organization for all your volunteer efforts.
Yeah.
You've been nominated for that.
You got all of that. You needed in the.
I think it's useful to add this in here,
yeah,
because otherwise it would not be noted.
You can't just take and get her deal out of the.
Going on.
Was a complete surprise to me. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And then, what was it? 7:30 in the morning that we had to be there? Yes.
Breakfast event.
I'd had a lot of people come.
Oh.
Yeah. That was very surprised.
Well, you were in the military. Did you receive citations or medals in the military?
Nothing special, but I did the usual things that I would have to go look them up. Because they were, I didn't do anything extra special. I didn't even get a Purple Heart. It was just the ordinary, usual thing.
Okay, what about your time in the military? Did that affect the way you think now about the military or the war or wars that go on?
I thought that we gave very good care. I thought that we had good equipment and things of that sort in any of the places that I've been. But the people were mostly very good. But like any place, there are some that you don't agree with as well as others, and so on. But mostly it was very satisfactory. They asked me while I was at Fort Ord to take another assignment, which would have been extending my time. And when I gave into the Army, I knew at that time that I would be leaving at a certain time because of my age. I had to leave when I was 55. And they said they could get a waiver for that. And this was so close to the time that I was going to be getting out that I said I really didn't want to do that. I thought I'd stick with what I had. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did now because of my mother going. Mm-hmm. And this one, it reminds me that I should say that I was Volunteer of the Year of 2003 with the San Antonio. That wasn't 2003, was it?
Mm-hmm.
No, I thought it was 2002. You're talking about the Women's Federation? That was the year before. What was the one the year before?
What we
so
could
this
do.
Is this is says that the profiles it, huh?
That was the Parade of Nations last year. This was this past January.
Yes. This is that.
What we can do, Pat, is write this in and put the written material in your envelope that will have all this information, including your
profiles and leadership. Award was in 2002. That's Mission City, Business and Professional Women. But I thought that other one was a year before.
Okay, that's okay. We'll get that in hard copy to add in. Is there anything else you'd like to add in as we wind this up?
Well, what would I like to add in? I don't know that there's anything in particular. I have a busy life. I got a few aches and pains here and there. I absolutely spoiled from living here. You can't, never, ever entered my mind that it would be as easy and as nice as it is for us here.
You deserve to have some comfort at this point, and we certainly thank you for sharing your memories with us. We appreciate it very much.